Welcome back to the Mike Shamari Show. My guest today was the voice of John Arbuckle and many more in the Garfield TV shows. Practically all those shows are on DVD now, including the complete Garfield and Friends series. He is currently the news director at KODIAM and for the Bighorn Radio Network in Cody, Wyoming. Please welcome back to the Mike Shamari Show, Tom Hughey.
Oh, no. Please sit down, please.
Yes.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Tom. Welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yes, and thankfully you're doing much better than you were last time you were here.
I am. I had a horrendous, I don't know what it was, viral infection, I guess.
Yes, well, glad to hear you're doing better now, and I seem to keep my streak intact of being well while doing interviews.
Okay, well, you sound good.
All right, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, what's been going on in your life since we last spoke?
I've been healing.
Okay.
Just a joke.
Oh.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
I'm Mr. Serious. Remember when I did that interview?
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes, well, I've been mighty busy. Actually, kind of learning the broadcast journalism trade.
Oh.
You know, I mean, being a news director is kind of a new shot for me. I've only just a little less than a year now that I've been doing this at here in Cody, Wyoming. Mm-hmm. It's a return to some roots of mine. I was in radio 35 years ago
mm-hmm.
when I was working in back in Indiana,
mm-hmm.
Right out of college, I worked for a television station for about a year and a half in Indianapolis, and then left there and got into radio, and just absolutely fell in love with it, and did that for 4 or 5 years. I was a disc jockey. I was not a journalist then. I wasn't a newsman.
Mm-hmm.
I was a disc jockey and a production guy, along with trying to kind of ply my trade as ply my craft, I should say, as
mm-hmm.
An actor back in those days, and that all seemed to work together because I really got into production and really fell in love with the whole art of audio production, and ended up going to work for a recording studio back in Indianapolis and running that for a couple of different companies, doing that sort of thing, and getting into more writing and performing, and
mm-hmm.
and so eventually I did get out of radio. So it's been fun getting back to it here in Wyoming, and I've kind of taken to it. I mean, for one thing, I'm working with some very nice people. I really enjoy the people I'm working with here in Cody, the staff and the people that who are our guests and who come in. I've just fallen in love with this whole community, actually. Really enjoy being here. But I've enjoyed getting back to radio and discovered that, all in all, it's just a matter of being a storyteller, and I've always done that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did it last time here on this show. It was a two-part interview. If you go to MikeShamari.com/interviews2, both parts of the interview are up and running, so check it out after this interview is over.
Okay.
Well, you can do the same, Tom.
Sure.
Okay. Well, let's, on a more serious note, talking Garfield and Friends, since our first interview we lost Howie Morris, someone you worked with on the show.
Sure did.
What memories do you have to share from working with him?
Oh, just absolutely wonderful. Howie was a very warm a funny man, and had just some amazing stories to tell about his career, his days in early television. You know, he was back on the old Sid Caesar, Your Show of Shows,
mm-hmm.
And that was something I grew up on as a kid, watching those shows. And Howie was a favorite of mine. I just thought he was such a wacky, funny little guy. He, along with Carl Reiner and Sid Caesar and Imogene Coco,
mm-hmm.
And they just they were pioneers. And you know, in the early days of television. And I kind of went to school on them. So it was a great thrill to have the chance to work with Howie. Howie was cast. We did this program called Garfield and Friends on CBS Saturday mornings, and part of that was a segment of a program called U.S. Acres.
Right.
And Howie was cast as Wade the Duck.
Mm-hmm.
And Wade, his character was character flaw was he was afraid of absolutely everything. He was what we called a panophobe.
Right.
Okay. And in fact, Wade wore this inner tube around him. They had a little duck, that little head of a duck, and that little head of that duck mimicked what Wade was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Wade was crying, that little head was crying. You know, just what you know, just was worked in concert with him. And I really enjoyed what the animators did with that. But anyway, Howie just took to that, and I mean, when he auditioned for it for the role, it just there was just absolutely no question that this was going to be a terrific characterization, and it turned out to be. Wonderful man to work with. He just was so nice and understanding and very professional. You know, I mean, he would come in, he came in to work, and but you know, there were always downtimes in recording sessions. So Howard was very happy to fill some of those gaps, you know, with his own stories.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you can always edit.
Yes. Well, you know what? I think I'll leave that in because it shows that I'm human.
Well, you are. Okay.
We're all human. Right.
Yes.
Might as well make some David Letterman-like sounds.
That's it. Yeah. That'd be good. Yeah. Okay.
We're talking with Tom Yugi.
Well, fine. Associate my name with this.
All right. Well, you're on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. Once again, getting serious, the more recent loss was Lou Rawls, who sang the songs for the Garfield specials, in most cases, along with Desiree Goyette. Did you ever get to work with him or record, or did you record separately?
We always recorded separately. I never met Lou. It was always a treasure, though, to have those vocalizations be part of our show. I mean, I was thrilled that he was able to do that. I'm going to see Desiree here in after this show airs, this program airs. I'm going to see her this weekend, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, going out to California.
All right.
Some family, actually.
Okay. So I assume you're still in touch with Desiree.
Just occasionally.
Okay.
A wonderfully talented woman. She's very involved in her church now and, I think the director of music for the church that she belongs to and is doing some things like that.
I think she also has a website, but I don't remember what it is. So, folks, if you, after this interview or while you're at your browser, go look up Desiree Goyette, and I'm sure her website will come up. But
that would be DesireGoyette.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, and she was, of course, the voice of Nermal Cat.
Uh-huh.
Right, on Garfield and Friends. And
along with a lot of other characters. She did a lot of other smaller roles, too, like most of us did.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we're talking with Tom Hughey, as I keep saying, here on the Mike Shamari Show. On Web Radio. This is so much fun. On Web Radio WCWP. Well, do you have any other stories to tell? Gee, that's a good thought.
Well, I'm sitting. This was a while ago.
Okay.
Mike, I'm
all
sorry.
Right. All right.
You know I do. I mean, one of the joys of my life in doing this program was the chance to work with some of my idols. I mentioned Howie; he was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Freberg. I don't know if we talked about this last time or not.
We did.
Okay.
But let's talk again.
Okay. Well, it was all I could do to get through a recording session with Stan because he so tickled my memory funny bone. I mean, I just, all of the wonderful satire and parodies that he did back in the late 50s and early 60s, and I just became really conversant with all these vocal characterizations, all these voices that he did. And then he came in and did the Garfield show with us, and there it was again, you know, and it just, it brought all that back, and I mean, we would be recording a scene, and he'd launch, you know, get into one of these voices, you know, kind of like that.
Right.
And I lost it. I mean, I was just totally unprofessional. It took a great amount of self-discipline and threats from the producer to straighten up. there was that. And, wonderful moment with Imogene Coca. Imogene did one or two programs with us. Might have only been one. I can't remember now.
I think it was two.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, I have access to the DVDs.
You are a better researcher than I am, Michael. she was just the sweetest, most wonderful lady. And again, back to those days of your show of shows with Caesar and with Carl Reiner and Howie, just the lady was a legend. And she was so sweet and so nice and just, I mean, and she was quite old when I worked with her. But still into it and just loved sitting there reading a script and doing a role.
Okay. Let's see, now what? I'm looking at my questions here. You're still in touch with Desiree Goyette. When was the last time you were in touch with people like Greg Berger, who was Odie and Orson, and Julie Payne, who was Liz and Lanolin on Garfield, and in the specials as well?
I have not talked to Julie for many years.
Okay.
We've just gone our separate ways. And in fact, I haven't talked to Greg for a long time either. Greg I was pretty close to because we worked so much together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, almost anything that I was in, Greg was in, not only as Odie, but also he did the voice of Orson Pig.
Right.
In the U.S. Acres segments. And a bunch of other characters, too. Greg was very versatile actor. I keep expecting to see him land some kind of plum role on a sitcom or something, and I'm amazed that he hasn't.
Yeah, me too. But he seems to be, his fit seems to be voiceovers. He's done a lot over the years.
And I still am in regular touch with Mark Evanier, our writer.
Okay.
Mark was the... I don't use this word often, but he was the genius behind the success, I think, of the Saturday Morning Show. I mean, and I don't want to take anything away from Jim Davis, the creator of the characters, because that's really where it all stemmed from. Mm-hmm. But Mark breathed such life into all of those characters, and especially the U.S. Acres characters, because there really wasn't much for him to go on there. In terms of, he didn't have that long-running comic strip that he could draw from in terms of character and character traits. We kind of had to, we did backgrounds on all of those characters and said, okay, you know, this is what they're like and kind of where they came from, little backstories and that kind of thing. And then Mark just made those come alive. In retrospect, I think I probably enjoyed doing the U.S. Acres segments even more than the Garfield segments.
Mm-hmm.
I did Roy the Rooster on that mostly.
Right.
And that was just so much fun. I guess in a way a lot more slapstick. I think Garfield was a bit more cerebral.
Mm-hmm.
But the U.S. Acres segments were always a lot more fun and some more chasing around and falling in puddles and stuff.
Right, and getting hit with pies.
You bet. You bet. There's nothing like getting a pie in the face.
That's right.
Yes.
There was one. I've been watching the DVDs lately as we record this, and there was one episode where you mentioned there was like a special holiday where you mentioned the name of a particular meat and you get hit with a pie.
I vaguely recall that. Mike.
Yes, it was the Big Bad Buddy Bird episode. There was another great the Buddy Bears.
Oh yes, Buddy Bears. Oh yes. Oh, sickening, weren't they?
No, I actually liked them. I noticed that there was one thing, if you notice, if you watch the DVDs or if you watch Garfield and Friends in syndication, that their voices change from the first appearance in the Binky gets canceled second episode.
Okay. Well, that could be.
Yeah, well, this is a Garfield aficionado speaking.
Oh, yes, I know that. I know. You are going to find those flaws, okay?
Yes.
Because you've studied them and the shows and that kind of thing. And I can't recall the exact evolution of the Buddy Bears, but we might have done a little switching around there.
Mm-hmm. But you were one of the voices, but it was almost almost like 1.5 speed or double speed?
Yeah, they did a very speed thing on that. You know, you don't have to do that anymore.
No.
Now you can just treat it digitally and get the same effect without having to do that. We did it the old-fashioned way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sped up the tape.
Right. Times are different now.
Yes, they are.
For example, this is being recorded in Adobe Audition 1.5.
Oh, okay. I'm recording it in Cool Edit Pro.
Okay, that's what Adobe Audition has become.
Ah, okay.
What it once was, rather.
I see.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, well,
Well, Mike, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been racking up the interviews, a lot, mainly with musicians, but with a couple of voiceover artists as well. The voice of Jimmy Neutron, Debbie Derryberry. The voice of Timmy Turner on the Fairly Odd Parents. What's her name? Tara Strong. Somebody from SpongeBob, and also Jimmy Neutron. Carolyn Lawrence. Billy West, who has done many voices. Ren and Stimpy. Futurama.
Oh yeah.
Let's see who else. And otherwise, a lot of musicians. My idol, David Benoit.
I met David once.
Oh really?
Yeah, he. I'm trying to remember why.
I think he did a special.
Our producer, Lee Mendelson, worked with David on some stuff, I think. Unrelated, but somehow, coincidentally, we all ended up at the same place in Los Angeles at one point for some kind of new album, CD release party or something, as I recall.
Was it for David's album?
It was for David's. And I can't remember, I don't even remember the title of it. This was 12, 14 years ago.
Well, it, chances are it was Inner Motion. That's a guess.
That might have been it.
Okay. Because there was a track on there that's very popular and still gets played on the local smooth jazz station here, MWA, Musicians with Attitude.
Okay.
All right. Doesn't ring a bell?
No, sorry.
Well, I'm a bigger fan than you.
Well, I have to confess that I am not a huge jazz fan. I'm a banjoist and guitarist.
Okay.
So I'm into folk music and a little bit of bluegrass and that kind of stuff. So
okay.
I'm much more likely to listen to Emmylou Harris or Alison Krauss or somebody like that.
All right. Well, there's somebody here at our station, Chris McIntosh. His name is Grant. Goes by the nickname Grandfather Rock. He has a show on Sunday nights called the Rock and Soul Gospel, and he's played his share of Emmylou Harris on the show.
Okay. Yeah, she's a great lady. Great,
she is.
Great artist.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we might as well get back to... No, wait a minute. I might as well tell some other people that I've interviewed.
Okay.
Let's see. I interviewed... Well, just today, today is the Martin Luther King Day.
Yes.
As we record this, and I spoke to Bill Heller, the keyboardist for the band The Rippingtons. It's another jazz band.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, you know of them?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do.
Okay, Russ Freeman on the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Marienthal recently on the saxophone. I've interviewed Eric. I've interviewed Russ. Let's see who else. Saxophonist Mindy Hebert. Peter White, another guitarist. Craig Chiquiso, who was with the Jefferson Starship back in the day, and is now a solo artist himself in the world of jazz and new age. Brian Hughes. Colin Mockery from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
So cool. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Very funny person.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Lorber, if he followed you, after he was on the week after that your first interview was on. He's another keyboardist. He's worked with a lot of people.
That sounds like one of those studio musician names.
Yes. Lee Rittenour, another
guy. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know Lee?
Guitarist?
Yes.
Yeah.
Captain Fingers is his nickname. He's worked with Dave Grusin.
You bet.
Of course, Dave Grusin done a lot of movies, like On Golden Pond. So many interviews and so little time. And
yeah. But they're great fun, aren't they?
Yes.
You know, when I first got back into radio, I knew I'd be reading newscasts and going out and doing reporting and interviewing some people for that. But I do a 25-minute interview program every day called Party Line here, and it's mostly a public affairs kind of thing. You know, somebody's having a fundraiser so they come in and talk about it and that sort of thing. Or there's a new adult education class coming up in the area, and so we kind of talk about that for 25 minutes. Those kinds of things. And I was really intimidated about that because I didn't know how good a job I'd do with that. And it turns out to be my favorite thing I do every day. It's so interesting and fun to see where we end up with and what kind of responses I can get from folks. And, you know, we're not doing investigative journalism here. We're,
right.
You know, we're just trying to spread the joy here in the community, frankly. And so it's always fun and very positive. But that's turned out to be a very enjoyable thing to do that whole interview process. I suspect you're finding the same thing.
Absolutely. And what was my interview used for? Was it used for Party Line?
Yes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
When exactly did that air? Like in July or something?
It didn't. We never did it.
Oh, no. It never aired?
No. Oh. We never recorded it.
Okay, well...
I mean, when you interviewed me, I did not record that.
No, I don't mean... I mean the... When you interviewed me...
I never interviewed you.
No, then...
We talked about doing it, but we never got it done.
No, it was... I remember it was in June, and I was a lad from New York. You referred to me as...
Am I hallucinating? I'm hallucinating, aren't I?
Well...
I had a senior moment.
Okay, well...
I got to go look that up.
Okay, well...
I don't know what the answer is to that, Michael.
It's okay. You asked me about Nora Jones. It's okay.
Okay, and now it's coming back.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, it would have aired, but I don't know when.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. We don't do a real good job of keeping track here.
Okay.
It's a small market radio.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're a college radio station, so...
Okay. Well, good for you. That's where I first did my first radio gig.
Well,
at Ball State University, speaking of David Letterman.
Yes. All right. Yes, we talked about Dave before with the guttural noises he's made.
That's right.
He makes sometimes. And Paul Schaefer's band usually adds a musical accompaniment to that. But
we all need our own personal band, don't we, Mike?
Yes.
Just take them wherever we go.
Right.
I'm sure that's the way Letterman lives his life now.
Mm.
Yeah, Schaefer goes with him everywhere.
Yes. Like
or not.
No, well, when they went to Iraq, but like last Christmas of 2004, they did come with him, and also Jimmy and Tom Dreesen came.
Right.
But
I was thinking, you know, like when Letterman, you know, would just like go shopping.
Okay. No, he
take the band with him.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't bring him.
You don't think so? Okay.
No.
Okay. Seems like a good concept to me.
Yes, he's a good man.
He is.
Yes.
You know, he's one of those people, I think. I liken him to Ernie Kovacs. Do you remember Ernie? You're too young, but maybe you've seen some footage of him. He was another early TV pioneer, and he died. Actually, the anniversary of his death was just a few days ago. He died in 1962, and he was a real pioneer and just did wonderful things on television. Very comedic. Classic kind of stuff. He was one of the first people I thought that ever really understood what television was about. And Letterman is another one of those people. They understood or understand that the television is such a temporary, wispy medium. I mean, it's a medium of the moment. It's here right now, and it's gone. And so let's not take it quite so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's Letterman's strength. I think, excuse me, that's what... that's the way he works, and I think that's his attitude, and I really appreciate that and admire that.
Yes, as do I. For those of you just joining us, you are sitting in with a nice conversation between Mike Shamari and Tom Hughey here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. Man, we've been talking for a long time now.
We have.
Yes, and it's very, very interesting. I'm sure our listeners will agree. Getting back to
I have another story.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, you can put these in wherever you want to. Okay.
Okay. All right.
We worked with George Foreman, the heavyweight champion of the world, and you know George and his sons George, but he came in and guested with us on the Garfield Show.
That's right. And
my wife Karen, who is a special ed teacher. Here and back then, at that time, back in Indiana, got to come along on the trip with me to go do the recording session, and she met George. And George was a very nice man, and after the recording session, a lot of folks were taking photographs, and George beckoned my wife over and said, you know, Karen, you know, why don't you come over and get your picture taken? And,
mm-hmm.
and she said, well, you know, I teach a lot of African-American kids at school, and if I could have a picture with the two of us, that would just really be great for me. And he said, well, come here. And he posed and had her hold up her fists like she was going to punch him, and he cowered in fear for the photograph. Okay? I mean, that was the kind of guy he was. He just was very unassuming and a very sweet man.
Mm-hmm. And still is.
Apparently so.
Yes. Along the lines of Garfield and Friends, you co-wrote all the U.S. Acres songs for that show?
Well, most of them, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That include the main theme, and Roy's theme.
You know, the main theme, I think, I'm pretty sure that was Ed Bogus.
Okay. All right.
Okay. We did the what were called feature songs.
Okay.
Okay, and Ed did all of the fill-in stuff, okay, the background stuff and the theme, the opening and closing theme.
Mm-hmm.
We did the feature songs where it usually turned on the plot,
mm-hmm.
okay, that there was or sometimes made the point of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little 1 minute or 1.5 minute long song and I did those with a gentleman named John Barnard.
Mm-hmm. So you wrote those, but you didn't write themes for Roy and Wade?
No.
Okay, those were Ed?
Yes.
Okay, all right, so he wrote Wade, You're Afraid.
No, I wrote that song.
Oh, you did? You wrote
yeah.
that song?
Yeah, I just never thought of that in terms of being Wade's theme, but I guess that's where that came from, yeah.
Okay. All right, well,
Yeah, but boy, you're bringing back some memories for me there, Mike.
Yes.
I mean, we wrote a ton of songs for that show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, new man, 60 or 65 different songs.
Wow.
And so they, you know, after a while, they kind of run together, especially when you're doing, you know, 13 or 15 or 18, 20 segments a year.
Mm-hmm.
Difficult for me to summon those from my memory.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, you know what? I'm out of questions, so.
Okay.
Is there anything else you want to ask me?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Is professional wrestling really fixed?
some people would agree it is.
That's a Mark Evanier question.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely. I have stole the moment he wrote it and have used it everywhere I go. In fact, I interviewed for a job once. In fact, it was the job that brought me to Wyoming when I went to work for the Buffalo Bill Historical Center, which is this huge Western museum here in Cody.
Right.
Like 7 acres under one roof kind of a thing, and with 5 different museums in it. But anyway, my first interview was a phone interview, and Karen, before she went to work that morning, said, okay, Tom, whatever you do, don't ask the question. Okay, and she went to work. And so we did this interview, and I'm interviewing with the executive director and some administrative type folks, you know, and I'm beginning to discover they have a sense of humor, but I decided at the end of it that I just needed it. And, of course, they did say at the end, do you have any questions? And that's what brought this about.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody always does that, okay?
Right.
You know, they do a speech for the Rotary Club. The ending is, well, do you have any questions? Okay, and so, and Mark Evanier did that in one of our U.S. Acres segments. I can't remember. I don't remember who actually spoke that line, but it just put me away, and so I stole it. Anyway, so we finished this job interview, and I said, well, yeah, is professional wrestling really fixed? And there was, like, 5 seconds of silence. And then they started to laugh, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then I broke into a cold sweat, thinking, okay, well, Tom, you just blew it there right at the end. It was going so well. But anyway, I got the job.
All right.
So, I guess I don't really have any questions.
Okay.
Okay, Mike.
Well, hey, man, this has been a great and long interview.
It has. We just ripped. Yeah, well, enough about you, Mike. What do you think of me?
Oh, man, you're the... Dave, you're the greatest.
Okay. Hey, take care, guy.
All right, this has been Tom Hughie here on the Mike Shamari Show, and it's been a half hour. So we'll be right back with more music, believe it or not. Maybe we'll play Pat Metheny Group's album.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. The Way Up, which is a continuous 74-minute song, but we're not going to do that.
Okay.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Ciao.